Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4 again, as we're still in Ephesians 4. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we've continued the series that we started in West Salem. You may not know this, but many of us were part of West Salem, and we launched out of West Salem here into Dallas. And so they had started through the book of Ephesians, and the timing worked perfect, that as we were coming here, that we were hitting Ephesians 4 and the unity in the body of Christ, and I just felt like God just led us to continue to go that direction. So we're continuing in that series, and so we're in Ephesians 4. A couple weeks ago, we began at the beginning of the chapter with verses 1 through 6 and talked about living a life worthy of God's call. Then last week, we went through verses 7 through 11 and talked about the gifts that God's given us. And this week, we're going to pick up in verse 11 and continue through verse 16 and talk about using those gifts and how God's called us to use those to build one another up. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with us here in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And so Ephesians 4, 11 starts out by saying, it says, it was he who gave, and talking about Jesus, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Last week, we talked about the fact that we serve a God that came to this earth, a God that conquered sin and death while he was here, and then he ascended back up into heaven. And instead of being one of those kings, last week we talked about the kings that would conquer, and they would do these great things for their people, but then they would demand gifts. And instead of God demanding gifts from us as he ascended, instead he poured out his gifts upon us. And we talked about how as he gave those gifts, he didn't give us all the same gifts. He didn't make us all clones that do the exact same thing. He gives each of us unique and individual gifts. And he gave us those gifts for many different reasons. And we could break that down in many different ways. But one of those reasons that we see talked about in these scriptures is they gave us those gifts to build one another up. That we use those gifts to sharpen each other, to encourage each other, to come alongside each other, and to build each other up. In verse 12 it says, he has given us these gifts so that the body of Christ may be built up. And he goes on to say, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. Become mature. That's what it's about, building one another up into maturity, becoming mature. It's interesting because last week it dawned on me that the title of this series, Extending His Kingdom, it's a great title. It's who God's, what God's called us to do. But I realized that maybe that title was missing something. Maybe it's really just part of what this series should be titled. As I mentioned, we're continuing the series that Pastor John at West Salem started several months ago. And as we were heading into this section, I saw what Pastor John's title was for this section of Scripture. And the title for West Salem of this section of Scripture is Making More and Maturing Disciples. Now, if you know anything about West Salem, you know that's their mission statement. Their mission statement as a church is making more and maturing disciples. And so because that's their mission statement, and because I'm about originality and I don't want to copy, I don't like to copy people, I like to be original in my own thing, I didn't take that title and just transfer it, like, yeah, that's a good title. Because it is, it's a great title for this section of Scripture, but I wanted something different, and I thought, that part of our mission statement of extending his kingdom goes perfect with these scriptures, making more disciples, right? Making more, extending God's kingdom. It goes great with it, but, there's that word again, but, it leaves out that not only is it about extending his kingdom, it's also seeing those that are extended become mature in their relationship with the Lord, seeing them grow in their relationship with him. And so maybe, honestly, it's funny, this week and the last couple weeks as I've been breaking these scriptures apart and really looking at them, maybe a better title would have been our mission statement. I've talked about our mission statement, which is loving God and loving people to extend his kingdom, because I'm realizing, as many of us are, that learning to love God and love people requires maturity. It's a difficult thing. It requires discipleship. It requires hard work. It requires effort on our half, right? On our behalf. You know, how do you grow in your love towards someone? By spending time with them, right? By being with them, by getting to know them on a deeper and more intimate level. And as we grow in our love for the Lord, and as we seek him, out of that love, because God is love, out of that love for him and our growth in him, we then grow in our love for people, right? And the cool thing with that is then as we grow in our love for people, what happens? People are drawn into his love and his kingdom is extended. This is why maturity is so important in our relationship with the Lord, because it's through that maturing process that our lives are transformed. It's through that maturity process that we grow and are built up. And it's in that maturity that we see his light shine through us in ways that draw people to him. Not to us, but to him. You know, let me explain. You know, it's often in our maturity, when we're growing, when we're living the life that God's called us to live, that we hear things like this. Why are you always so happy? Right? Or how can you be so calm about a situation like this? You know, or how can you have joy when all the things around you seem to be crumbling? It's in those opportunities that we get to say, do you really want to know? Because I'd love to tell you. Are you really asking me that question? You're giving me that open door, right? Because it's through the love of Jesus, and we get to begin to share that with people. It's the Spirit of God at work in our lives. You want to find out more about that? You want to come to church with me? It's that spiritual maturity that enables us to have those opportunities, because people see Christ in us and his kingdom is extended, and it's the purpose and reason that we need to grow in our maturity. Paul tells us in verse 14 that if we grow in our spiritual maturity, it says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Paul compares our early walk in Christianity to that of an infant, to that of a small child. And the thing about an infant or a small child, as I was thinking about this and really asking, Lord, what is Paul saying? What is he speaking to us? The thing about an infant or a small child is that they have no knowledge of the truth. They're curious. They're trying to learn. You can tell them stuff and they'll grab onto it, but they really have no knowledge of the truth, right? You know, I can go to a young child and I could show them my Bible here. And I could say, see my Bible here? This, what color is this? And they're like looking at me like, I don't know, right? And it's black. And they're like, black? Yes, it's black. And so they're like, black. And you're like, now what color is this Bible? Black. Now here's the thing. I can set the Bible down and walk away. And the next person can come in and say, what color is this Bible? Black? No. Whoever told you that was black, they weren't telling you the truth. It's yellow. Yellow? Yeah, yellow. So when I come back, I say, what color is this? Yellow. They don't know. They don't know the knowledge of the truth, and they're tossed like the winds, and like it talks about, they're easily swayed. The young child is easily swayed because they don't know the truth, and I think the same holds true for the infant Christian, that we can be so easily swayed in our walk with the Lord. We're told one thing, yeah, but then someone else tells us another thing, oh, and we're easily swayed because we need to grow in this. We need to grow in His Word, and we need to grow in the knowledge of His truth. Spiritual maturity is something God desires from us, that we wouldn't stay as young ones, but that we would grow in maturity in Him. And last night, even as I was processing through this, it's not even in my notes, I was reminded of a time I sat through a message with a pastor by the name of Ron Mell. Some of you may be familiar with Pastor Ron Mell. He's written many books. He was a longtime Foursquare pastor of Beaverton Foursquare Church. Planted Beaverton Foursquare Church years ago with like 12, 15 people and grew this church to 4,000, 5,000 people. Amazing man of God. I love to listen to this man speak. It was like sitting down and listening to Paul speak. I mean, this guy, he spoke, he knew the Word of God, and to hear him speak was an amazing thing. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. But I was at a conference with him with a bunch of youth pastors, and he was talking to us about just, you know, growing in our ministry. And he said, you know, I've heard people say, you know, I have 7 years of youth pastor experience. And he said, you know, I have a question for you. He said, do you have 7 years of youth pastor experience, or do you have 1 year of youth pastor experience 7 times in a row? And he was pointing out the fact that so often we can, you know, think we know everything and just reduplicate it again and again and again. But we're not really growing, that each year is not new and growing to a new level where we're experiencing more and more. And I think that translates so much into our Christian walk. I've been a Christian for 35 years. I figured that out. I just turned 40 a couple weeks ago. And I was about 5 years old, I believe, when I gave my life to the Lord. So I've been a Christian for 35 years. But can I truly say I've had 35 years of experience? I don't feel like. I feel like I should be a lot farther along. I know that there were some years in there where I just kind of duplicated the year before, that I wasn't truly growing in my relationship with Him. God's desire is that every day we would be maturing and growing in our relationship with Him, that we wouldn't be stuck in those young infant stages, but that we would grow into maturity in our relationship with Him. I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases it in The Message. Ephesians 4:14-16 in The Message. I'll put it up on the screen so you can follow along with me. I love how he says it in these scriptures. This is what he says. He says, no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We are to take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Love always comes back to that. God's desire is that we would come together, together in unity, that we would use the gifts He's given us to build one another up in love, to see us become mature to extend His kingdom, and to see more and more people grow from those stages of infancy into spiritual adulthood. On a personal level, what does that mean for us? Because as a church, we want to build one another up, encourage each other, strengthen each other. But what about on a personal level? What does that mean to us individually? It's about being discipled. It's about spiritual maturity. It's about growing and becoming who God has called you to be. Not who you desire to be, but who God has called you to be. And if I'm honest with you, because one of our core values here at Dallas Foursquare Church is authenticity. I don't want to sugarcoat anything. We want to be authentic and real with one another. And if I'm honest with you, becoming who God has called you to be is not easy. It's not. It's not easy. Anyone that tells you following Christ is easy is not telling you the truth, which is lying to you. If you want to know the truth, look up Luke 9:23. Okay, Luke 9:23 lays it out for you. I'll share it with you so you don't have to look it up right now. But Luke 9:23 says this: if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like something easy to me. If we truly understand what Jesus went through, what the cross was, it's not easy. God never promised us that it would be easy. But he does promise us this. He promises us that we don't have to do it by ourselves. He promises us that he will be right there with us every step of the way. And I'm realizing more and more that true spiritual maturity, true growth in Christ, happens in my life when I learn to trust in God. There's that word, trust, again. It keeps coming up. Trust, trust, trust. I feel like every time I open the scriptures lately, that word pops out at me, trust. I was reading Psalms a couple weeks ago, and it's like, you know, a little scripture like this, and three or four times, trust, trust just pops out at you. But if we really want to grow in our spiritual maturity, it takes learning to trust in God. My wife and I have been on a journey the last couple years, and have been getting glimpses of what it looks like to trust God with our lives. Are we perfect in that? No, but we're learning what it means to fully trust in Him, to give Him our lives. And little did we know when we started this journey over 2 years ago that it would lead me to a place where I was senior pastoring in a place called Dallas, Oregon. Has it been an easy journey? No, not at all. We've been challenged. We've been stretched. There have been times even, and my wife can tell you this, when everything in us wanted to run in the opposite direction. Everything in us wanted to quit and say, no, you know what, God, okay, I'm good. I've done this thing, and now you're taking me down roads and situations that I don't know I can handle. And of course, he just says, no, you can't, but through me, I can. You can. You can do all things through me who gives you strength. There have been times where we wanted to quit, but I can honestly say this. I have grown more in my relationship with the Lord over these last couple years than I probably did the 10 years previous, because I've truly, really learned not how to just do the same thing again and again, but to really step out and see God grow me and transform me into someone that I don't even know how I got here. For anyone that knows me, it's an amazing thing to me that I'm up here in front of you pastoring a church, but God is in control. And it's hard and it's difficult, but he's been faithful along the way to give us what we need to continue to do that. God's desire is to bring each of us to spiritual maturity. His desire is to see us grow closer and closer to him each day, to learn to trust in him, to give him our lives. I want to finish this morning by showing you a video. It's a great video about giving God control of your life. Some of you may have seen it. It's been out for a little while. These guys called the Skit Guys, they do amazing videos, from funny videos to serious videos. And I came across this video a couple years ago, and it impacted my life, and I've used it a couple different times in my ministry. But I want to just share it with you and have you just kind of listen and allow God to speak to you through this video as we wrap up this morning. So let's take a look at this.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're in essence his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of your son so that I can be your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know, if I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yep, I do that. Don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Hey, yeah. What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step okay. right up. Here we go. All right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't out of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you can chisel,
all
I mean,
right?
Right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy. But you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay. Time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we could take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
so what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. Then we'll come back to
right?
it.
What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
No, can we chisel where I want them?
It's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Yeah. It hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe we could...
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way,
your
we could...
Your ways are not my ways.
Okay, well, look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, God, I've let you down so many times.
No, you were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away.
All right.
Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there, because I know who's inside there. Is God. I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that are not of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name. It's a saying.
It's more than a name. It's more than a saying. It's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. That is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. Not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how it's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy.
No. The way you see yourself or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Verse 16 of our scripture today ends by saying this. From him, being Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work, our part is to mature and grow into his original masterpiece. That's his desire for our life. We talked last week about those gifts. God has given you gifts. He's created you in a specific way. And he wants you to allow his gifts to be perfected in your life so that we can be built up together in unity into the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. Let's pray.